On Christmas Eve, after Mom and Dad would tell us the story the night before Christmas, my grandfather would put us to bed. And every year, he would wait by our door with the lights out and the fireplace crackling behind him for us to fall asleep. When I turned 10, I asked him why he would spend his nights watching us and not go to bed. Was he waiting to see Santa Claus? And if he did see him, did that mean that he wouldn't get any presents that year? He thought for a moment before he decided that I was old enough to hear his story. He set me up in bed, and he explained to me that he was waiting up for Santa Claus, but it wasn't the Santa that I wanted to see. It was a Santa that he saw when he was my age. The town was very small. My grandfather used to live in a little mountain cottage. He would tell us of how long it took him to ride his bicycle from his home to school. When he returned home, the sun would already be setting behind the trees. The shadows were long and reached from the tree line across the clearing to tickle the edge of his small stone house. He lived in that home with his mother. My grandfather always talked highly of her. In the summer, she worked hard to keep food on the table for both of them. In the winter, she cut the wood for the fire, keeping the chimney hot with smoke. He had little to complain about, but, as boys do, would still be one to make trouble. His mother warned him of creatures like the boogeyman, or the woman in the cellar, that took little boys that didn't listen to their mothers. Like all cautionary stories to keep children in line, he heard, feared, and in the end, ignored all of them. However, in the winter, when the nights were long, and the tree shadows crept up to the edge of his house, and the smoke from the fires in the fireplace darkened the sky like a rain cloud, his mother's warnings would always grow more serious. The stories his mother told stopped being of the boogeyman below his bed, or the little old woman under the stairs. Instead, she told him of the Krampus. I knew the story of Santa Claus. I had been told his tale every Christmas Eve. A jolly man in a red suit with 8 tiny reindeer who traveled across the world to deliver toys to every good boy and girl. If you were naughty and didn't listen to the warnings your mother gave, old St. Nicholas would leave you a lump of coal. My great-grandmother told her story a little differently. Santa Claus came to the house of good boys and girls. He would leave toys in exchange for their good deeds throughout the year. From the hearth of the fire, he would eat the cookies that was left and drink the milk. With a smile and laying a finger aside his nose, he would rise back up the chimney. The beating of hooves on the roof would sound his departure, and he would travel on to the next house. But if you were bad, you would hear the beat of hooves once again. The jingle of bells were not the bright brass that glistened on the sleigh of the gift-bringer. Instead, the bells would be iron and heavy. The cloak that the monster wore would share the color of dried blood, and the furs would smell of chimney soot. His teeth, almost human, were horribly misplaced like broken china, haphazardly positioned in his mouth. And worst of all, his eyes glowed yellow, beacons of piercing color to spot those who deserved their punishments. His mother kept the fires hot in the fireplace to be sure no one would come down the chimney a second time. My grandfather was a mischief maker. The parents of those mischief makers and naughty children would receive something to help discipline them. The stories she told would speak of a creature with horns like a goat and a sharp pointed tongue. His beastly body was coated in dark fur, his feet hard heavy hooves, and across his back, he carried his own sack of gifts. These were not toys for children, but branches of trees for parents to whip naughty kids with, or chains to punish those who were worse. For those boys and girls that were a nightmare to their parents, the Krampus, as she called it, would give parents the gift of relief by taking their children to only God knows where. One Christmas night, as my grandfather told it, he was awakened by the sound of hooves on the roof. As any good child would imagine, he sprang from his bed to catch a glimpse of Santa Claus by their Christmas tree. To his surprise, the fire of the chimney was down to embers, and stomping the remaining embers out was not the boots of a merry elf in red, but the dark, heavy stomp of goat hooves. His mother gripped his arm from somewhere in the darkness and pulled him out of sight. The house began to shake, and the walls around the hearth cracked from the movement of something large. She pulled him from the cottage, through the windows, and into the snow outside. My grandfather said that he wasn't wearing a coat or any clothes for the snow, and neither was his mother. Nonetheless, she pushed him into the snowbanks and then climbed in herself. They shivered in the cold, and the only light was of the sky that showed in the clear night. The moonlight reflected off of the new-fallen snow of Christmas. Had he not been so terrified, my grandfather would have thought it beautiful. As if sensing the perfection of the holiday scene, a barking broke through the silence of the night. My grandfather's dog called out to defend them from the intruder inside their home. A part of my grandfather wanted to rush back inside to save the brave hound, but the other part, the part that remembered the stories, was frozen in fear. And so he remained, buried in the snow. Minutes passed of barking before atop their house, two clawed and fur-covered hands reached from the opening of the chimney. Attached to those hands were arms. Attached to those arms was a body, and attached to that body emerged a horned head. As the beast pulled itself from the chimney, its bones seemed to snap back into place, and it inflated back to its monstrous size. To this day, my grandfather says he doesn't understand how a creature can break itself to fit into a home when it was nearly as tall as the house itself. The Krampus drug its feet as it moved from the chimney across the roof, leaving scrapes in the snow. The sound of the heavy scratches it made as it crossed the tops of the cottage caused the trees to shake. The earth around them shuddered as Krampus flung itself from the cottage to the ground. Its hooves thudded into the snow. Stretching its back to its full height, it stood tall, nearly 9 feet. Its head turned this way and that, searching the clearing of the cottage for any other signs of life. Its eyes were yellow spotlights, and my grandfather's mother pressed her face into the snow to not be seen. Even the barking of the dog through the window of the house turned to a whine as the beams of its eyes scanned the surroundings. My grandfather was mesmerized by the scene. He watched as the creature turned its body and stretched itself to look at the other side of the house. When it did, the thatch pack it carried came into view. My grandfather explained that it was terrible. The sack writhed, twisted, and shook as if it contained a million angry insects, all looking for a way out. He says he knew they couldn't be insects. If the stories were true, they could only be children. From small holes in the bag, he could see hands. Some were larger than his, some were smaller. Some had darker skin, some were fairer. But all of them were unmistakably human. And just before the beast turned away, he swore he could hear their voices. The beast, growing impatient, began its walk back towards the tree line. My grandfather could feel tears dripping down his face and freezing on his cheeks. With the sweep of its hand, it pushed a large branch aside and disappeared into the night. "That's why I stay and watch you at night," he said. "In the winter, when the nights are longer, the tree shadows tickle the edge of the house, and the smoke from the fires in the fireplace darken the sky above like a rain cloud. I make sure you sleep soundly. I make sure the fires are hot. And I protect you from what could be out on Christmas Eve."